Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
My name is Dan Cobb, and I'm joined, of course, by Neil Jones on what is Transfer Deadline Day Eve. How are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, yeah. Not quite as excited as I have on Christmas Eve, but similar.
Similar levels of excitement, yeah, I can well imagine. And there's reason to be excited, of course, if you're red these days, because since we last spoke, I think things have moved along a little bit of a pace. We spoke about the opportunity to sign Ryan Gravenberch. If it presented itself, Liverpool would be all over it. And it looks as though that may well be the case. There's been different reports on this one. I think David Ornstein was one of the first to speak about it yesterday. And since that, there's been Christian Falk from Germany and other people speculating on the price, sort of the personal terms and that type of thing. But I think what we do know, Neil, you feel free to elaborate on this, is it's going to be, if it happens, a permanent deal. Because I think there was some suggestion the other day of people saying, no, we might just loan Ryan Gravenberch. I don't think that's going to happen. Looks like a permanent deal. The player seems to be on board.
Yeah.
Liverpool and Bayern now, it's just up to them to thrash it out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that has pretty much been the case the whole summer. And what's changed really is that Liverpool hadn't had a lot of encouragement from Bayern, that they were willing to get involved in a negotiation over Gravenberch. They were keen to keep him. That's changed, as far as I'm aware, over the last week, or especially this week. They're obviously kind of looking at getting in Joao Palhinha, it looks like, doesn't it, from Fulham, so that they're looking to bring in a big money midfielder, and that means Gravenberch's prospects are even less promising than they've been. So yeah, there's a real chance now for Liverpool to get this deal done. You don't want to sort of say it, do you? You know, you don't want to say, this will get done. But there's a real chance. There's now a will on pretty much all parts, really, for something to get done. I think it'll depend. I mean, I think you're looking at the top end fee would probably be less than £40 million. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like that's a huge sort of, you know, problem for Liverpool. It doesn't feel like it's sort of completely out of their hitting zone. No. Bayern would be doubling the money if they were to get something like that. I think they're probably going to get less than that. So it does feel like a deal that's got a pretty good chance of getting done. Mm. I think the player's driven a fair bit of it as well. I think he's made it very clear that, you know, he's not having another year like last season where he's starting the odd game. I mean, I spoke to an old colleague actually about Gravenberch, and sort of, I think, you know, we sound like we're not the sporting director, but when you're doing your due diligence about a player, you sort of say, well, why hasn't it worked out? Because, you know, I think that would be the red flag that you would look at if you were a Liverpool fan who was a pessimist. You'd look and say, well, why hasn't he worked out? Because Bayern have not been amazing while he's been there. He's been fit for the most part. Why has he not played? And two managers as well, you know, Julian Nagelsmann and Thomas Tuchel have both not picked him. And he said, just as simple as Bayern see him as competing with Jamal Musiala and Thomas Müller for the position. They don't see him as being competing with necessarily Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka, since then Konrad Lima. But it does feel a little bit like there must be a little bit more to it. There must be a sort of, you know, a personality clash, or a question mark around his training, or you know, how much he puts in. You just feel like there must be something in there. But I think what is important to say is that at 2021, Liverpool's seen it with Fabio Cavallo, for example, last season. You can be a really talented player and just not fit for a team, you know, in the way that the team plays. So I wouldn't be too worried about him not having played for Bayern. The worry I would have around it is how long would it take him to just get used to that rhythm of playing regularly. I think in terms of his talent, and I saw Josh Williams's segment on him, I think he's spot on. You know, his potential is very, very high. You look at the attributes that he's got, you know, limited clips, if you like, from the last 12 months. But you know, he carries the ball, doesn't he? He's got a lovely first touch. He can go past players. He's got he reminds me a bit of Curtis Jones in that respect, but he's probably got a bit more range in his passing. You know, he's obviously played in the Champions League. He's played in the Bundesliga, the Eredivisie, so he's got good experience. I think it's a deal. I've regular viewers will know I've been quite positive about Gravenberch even early in the summer, and I just think it's a deal that makes a lot of sense for Liverpool. I really do, and hopefully it gets done. It'll add definitely to Liverpool's squad, you know, and their ability to change the team without sort of necessarily leaving gaps, or to bring, you know, have an extra player to bring off the bench, whether it's him, whether it's, you know, you can leave out McAllister in the odd game, or sub Oslai, or you could play all three. I just think Liverpool will look a lot stronger having a player like him. And, you know, not just in the short term, but you think in a year's time, you've got sub Oslai and him, you know, 22, 21 at the moment. But McAllister will be 25, you know, this time next year. You've got Curtis Jones, 20. You know, there's a lot of young talent in that midfield, isn't there? And, you know, maybe not all of them will go right to the ceiling of their talent, but if three of them do, Liverpool have got a real good, real good potential in that middle of the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we touched on sort of him fitting the profile the other week, and he does seem to fall right into Liverpool's wheelhouse when it comes to, like you said there, in terms of his age and stuff like that. And I think you're absolutely spot on. I think it's important to remember that, I guess I touched on it the other day, Liverpool wanted this lad before he made the move to Bayern Munich. There was sort of admiration there at the bare minimum, and having missed out on him that time around, Klopp would be delighted to get him in this time. I'm absolutely certain of it. But just in terms of his fit, I've seen a lot of people sort of question this, and I actually took my own Twitter, which is very rare of me, given the fact I run the Redmen one yesterday. But I said there's a lot of sort of negativity around the Gravenberch deal. Just, I think it's born out of the fact that he isn't an out-and-out six. He played like 30-odd games as a six in his career, and people clearly still see it that Endo is okay. I think people would rather Endo as a squad player, because of the price tag, maybe because of the age, whatever it is, or the fact that he's played for Stuttgart and like teams in Japan, and people don't really rate him that highly or whatever. But I suppose Gravenberch, he fits that bill of multifunctional, which we've been talking about for a few weeks. Like I say, he's big, he's physical, he has got ability, there's no two ways about it. So I suppose on him, how do you see him fitting in? And also, with Endo, I've put it in the agenda there, do you see this as being yet another show of faith in what he's going to bring?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, if you think back to when Liverpool were looking for a number six, you know, when it was the sort of, you know, panic stations really around they need to get someone in to replace Fabinho. There was obviously that talk. I think Melissa Reddy was the one who wrote it. Said they want two. They want a destroyer and a progressor, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Two terms. You know, so whether you like the players or not, that's probably what they've got, isn't it? You know, in this, I think it is a show of faith. I mean, Jürgen and the way that he's spoken about Endo. And of course he's got to, because it's a signing that comes in, and he's well aware of the perception around the signing. But the way he's spoken about it was very clear that, look, this isn't just a sort of a, you know, we've landed on someone on the last second of the window. I mean, he was signed with a few weeks left, wasn't he? You know, so they could, in theory, have carried on looking for one until now. So he's very clear that, look, he's going to play games. He's already started, you know, a big game. Come on at a key time in another game. So there's already been clear signs that he's more than just a sort of a, you know, a emergency stopgap.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think what's also been clear since Endo signed, and I know it's only one game, but it's shown that it's not just having a number six, it's having skill sets and ability, you know, togetherness of the team. That's what's going to fix Liverpool's midfield problems. It isn't necessarily just you can't just plonk Casemiro in there. I mean, he will make you better because he's a great player, but it also, you have to have everything around it as well. And yeah. I think in Gravenberch's case in particular, he's another player who can run. He's another player who's strong enough to cope in one-on-one duels. He's got good size about him. You know, I don't actually know what he's like in the air as a aerial duels, but he's got a good size about him, so you'd think he should be able to handle himself in that situation, and he can handle the ball. You can see him, and you look. I think the difference that you've seen Szoboszlai and McAllister make is that Liverpool can play those passes into midfield or through midfield a lot more, with a lot more confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at where the goal comes from. At Chelsea, comes from, you know, a defender playing a ball into midfield, back in, and then Liverpool are out. They didn't really play that way, did they? With a lot more sort of patient build up and get it out wide and sort of, you know, try and gradually work into the final third. I think Liverpool have got a little bit more ability to really move the ball through the thirds quickly and accurately. Mm-hmm. And Gravenberch's another player that can do that. So I think if you've got good footballers who can run, you can almost put three of them in that midfield. I think, you know, you could put McAllister, Gravenberch, Szoboszlai in certain games. You could put Curtis Jones in there in certain games. I mean, Harvey Elliott's made a good, like we say, on Tuesday, made a really good impact in his games. Having a few more of them means that maybe we're not necessarily looking at a number six and then two number eights. You may be just looking at three midfielders who play in there. And obviously, they'll all naturally revert towards their strengths, and Szoboszlai's does appear to be that he drifts across to the right. McAllister seems to like to play from the left and get on the ball in, you know, those half spaces, if you like. So there will be elements of sort of familiarity, but I think there's also a little bit of versatility around there that Liverpool can do different things. And don't forget, they've still got Stefan Bacetic. Yeah. You know, for now, they've still got Thiago. Mm-hmm. I think that might be one that is, some people might be looking at that and saying, okay, well, is that the potential? Is there a potential for Thiago maybe to leave?
For now?
Possibly, you know, I mean, you look at, that's another player that's taken up a position of Thiago would play, isn't it? If Gravenberch comes in, it's another obviously non-homegrown player. Liverpool wanted to do something in January, then they're obviously penned in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're just looking and saying, well, he'd be gone in a year's time anyway. So, you know, I think it's fair to ask the question around him. I haven't heard anything that he wants to leave or that there's an offer for him to leave, but he has been linked obviously quite strongly with Saudi in the past. I think, who hasn't?
especially if you play for Liverpool. Have you ever put a Liverpool shirt on?
It's crazy. It does feel a little bit targeted, doesn't it? You know, when you're seeing Konate, Gomez, Diaz, Alisson, Salah, obviously. I suppose maybe it says a couple of things. Maybe it says people think you can get players out of Liverpool, but it also means that people think Liverpool have got good players as well, doesn't it? So, but yeah, I think in Gravenberch's case, look, let's see if it gets done. But I don't have a real negative view on the transfer at all. I think it's Liverpool again. I mean, if you think about what people have been crying out for, midfield overhaul, four midfielders that would be coming in, wouldn't it? And okay, yeah, you might say not the four greatest midfielders that you were all hoping for. It wasn't the one everyone was hoping for, but that's a fair old rebuild, isn't it? And you know, with the exception of Endo, it's three players of huge huge potential and huge quality at this stage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm over the moon with it, to be honest. If it gets done, I think it'd be a really smart piece of business. And like you touched on there, I think sort of future-proofing ourselves against Thiago, it adds that squad depth, is that versatility that you mentioned as well. And I think it will be a case of horses for courses in some games, because sometimes you will want your Endo in there, your destroying type. Mm. But in other games, maybe not necessarily at home against Aston Villa, because of how good Aston Villa are now. But there will be certain games, particularly at Anfield, whereby you think you can just go Gravenberch, McAllister, and Szoboszlai, obviously. Just to finish on Gravenberch, I put it on the bottom of the agenda there in terms of him. Should indeed this one get done, like, I just think this would be the type of deal that Klopp will be absolutely over the moon with, like I say, especially given the fact that we have admired from afar for some time now. I think he will be all of a sudden just joyous with his midfield options.
Yeah, well, you know what he likes quality, but he likes potential, doesn't he? And he likes players who, you know, he would expect to get better quickly.
Mm. And he'll improve under him. As well.
You would think so. You mean, and also, you know, there's another Dutch connection, isn't there? With obviously with Gakpo, with Virgil, with Pep Linders, obviously. Mm. I would be amazed if there haven't been, you know, advice sought from those sources in terms of his character. You know, he's one that he likes stories, doesn't he, Jürgen? You know, he's spoken a lot about players and sort of setbacks framing them. You know, you look at, you know, McAllister being an example. You know, he obviously had to go back to Argentina and sort of earn his mm-hmm. corn. You know, you look at Sally, look at Robertson, yeah. Gini Wijnaldum was relegated, even Van Dijk, who was a late bloomer. You know, he liked Sadio, you know, he likes that story as well, that he didn't sign someone once and came back for them. I could imagine him speaking very highly about Gravenberch and sort of, you know, look, he's missed out on the World Cup last year because he probably made the wrong move. You know, that's how it's turned out for him. He went to Bayern Munich. If he'd have stayed at Ajax or he'd have gone somewhere else and played, he'd have been in that Dutch squad for the World Cup, wouldn't he? So I think having that knowledge that someone can handle a setback, but also that potentially that extra bit of hunger that's in them, that they've, you know, they've been disappointed in the past and they've got something to prove. Mm-hmm. And they've maybe, you know, look, from Gravenberch's point of view, probably not at 21, but you could ask the question, you know, is this his sort of, he's running out of chances at that level, isn't he? You know, if you've made two moves and they don't work out, where are you going to go from there? You're not going to be playing many Champions League games. So I think he'd quite relish that. And like I say, the potential that he's got, it's not a case of, you know, he needs to grow or he needs to sort of, you know, he's completely raw. He's a very, very accomplished player, isn't he? Mm. You know, and he's physically really sort of at a level where he can cope in the top leagues and the top games. So I think there's a lot to work with for him. Yeah. And it also just means that Liverpool's age profile of the squad, we looked at it last season at times, didn't we? And we looked at, you know, Milner, Firmino, Henderson, Fabinho, Van Dijk, Matip. You know, it was suddenly looking like an old team, wasn't it? Now, you theoretically, your team could have Trent, Konate, Gravenberch, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Gakpo, Diaz, Darwin.
Yeah,
it's all of a sudden it's a young side, isn't it? You know, or it's a side that's really sort of going that way rather than that way. So I think it's still got to get done. That's the important thing to stress in this, you know. And you know, when you put the headline out after this, we'll make that clear. It's not yet a done deal, but obviously time's ticking, and I think it's moving in the right direction, certainly.
Hey, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that section of my conversation with the brilliant Neil Jones. If you want to watch or listen to that show in full, head to redmenplus.com now. Sign up as a captain or a legend where you'll get the rest of that, plus all the other amazing content that we do here at the Redmen TV, covering the Ryan Gravenberch transfer and everything else beyond. Take it easy.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.